Question before we start. If Washington Hora and Rehavis is with correct information, what is an outright lie then?
Motzi Shemra.
Motzi Shemra. I can't remember. Okay, Motzi Shemra. Okay. Lamed Aleph.
Lamed Aleph. Hamad Bet.
Lamed Bet. Sanhedrin.
Sanhedrin. 31b.
Lamed Bet Amud Aleph?
Lamed Aleph. Hamad Bet. We were looking at a writer, which we haven't finished. Our writer said, Machoket Rabbanan against Rashbag, Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel. Separation of safety. In the first half of the Brit in Erasure, with Machoket on whether you could bring new witness, new evidence. So the rabbi said you have 30 days.
But that's just an example.
Right.
Namely, they could specify any date.
They could specify any date, but usually they would specify 30 days, and you're right. So 30 days. The Reichsbank said no, unlimited. Unlimited time for new evidence. Okay, that's just a stand case. But if in the course of the trial, the judges specifically asked the litigants, do you have any more evidence? And the litigant said no, said has none. Rabbanan said can't now bring. Once you said you have none, you can't now bring. Rashbag said,
what do you mean can't now bring?
Said lo yachol laviyacha. If he said that he has none, he can bring later. Right? So the two different cases. One is, there's a time limit to bring new evidence. If the court says you have 30 days, then you have 30 days. And if you find new evidence after 30 days, sorry, no good. Flashback says no. Even if the court said 30 days you need to bring new evidence, you find new evidence later, it's okay. The second argument is, if the court says to the witness, do you have any new evidence? And he says no. So even if he finds it the next day, forget 30 days, even if it's the next day, doesn't help. Weishbach says no. Even if he said he had none, he found out later that he had some more, that's okay.
But then they gave the example of a child who wouldn't know, who inherited money from his father,
yeah,
and they're claiming, the debtor's claiming the money, and he wouldn't know the father's business, so he wouldn't know the information, he wouldn't have the facts. So they made an exception to that. And the other thing would be if the evidence or witnesses were overseas.
Okay, that's coming.
But that's later.
Yeah. Okay. Ah, now we can stop.
Welcome to.
Top. So that was the bright. Now, Gemara says, "Ki ata Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Yonatan." Sorry, Rav Yochanan. When Rav Dimi came, where did Rav Dimi come from? Where was Rav Dimi?
Babylonia.
When he came.
When he
arrived in Babylon.
Where was he coming from?
When Rav Dimi arrived in Babylon.
He's coming from Israel.
Right.
He's coming here to us. Where are we? Where are we sitting at the moment?
Here.
Bavel. We're in Bavel. We, the Gemara, That's where we are. When we open the Gemara, we're in there. We're in Babel, in the Gemara. So it says when Rav Dimi came, he was coming to Babel. He was coming to see us. Visiting from Chutzlat, from Eretz Yisrael. So when he came, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, Lo'olam mevi raya v'soteh. Always, you can bring evidence and soteh. You can...
We need to be dancing and singing anyway.
So what is what Rav Dimi says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? He says you can always bring new evidence and quash the and nullify the verdict. Right? Who does that go by?
You can
change
the
verdict. Bring new evidence.
Until you didn't give the final verdict.
No, after the verdict, you find new evidence. You can come back to court.
You can open the diyun from beginning.
Right. You find new evidence.
Rashbag.
Goes by who?
Rashbag.
In the ratio or the sefer? In the ratio. Rashbag in the ratio.
So that's Rabbi Shimon.
Now I'm flying. Rabbi Shimon.
I'm tongue-tied today. Rabbi Shimon by Gamliel.
Ben Gamliel, that's it. For Hashem. Okay.
And that's
can always, so what? So let's see what it says. So it said, Lo'olam mevi rayasot. He can always bring new evidence. Ad sheyistayem tanotav. Until he declares his... he closes his argument. The Omer, he says, Kilvu ploni uploni veheduni. And then he says, let ploni and ploni kilvu approach veheduni and testify for me. Until he says that. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
To be that not for unlimited time.
Right.
So I guess the verdict's being handed down or something.
But so the second half appears to be...
I'm confused, because he's offering witnesses.
He's offering witnesses.
He has witnesses, and he wants them to testify. So why would they not accept the witnesses if he's not finished?
Right. So what's he saying? So let's see what the Gemara is going to explain. What are you reading there, Rabbi Abraham? I can see.
Rashi.
Okay, which Rashi?
Rashi.
Okay. So what does that mean? Mashma. It's apparent. She'amar b'beit din, that he said in b'beit din, ein li lo edim, I don't have any other edim, v'lo ra'ya, and no other proof. V'chazar, and then he came back, v'amar, and he said, kivu ploni v'ploni, let ploni and ploni come and approach. Shayu mzumanim, that were available already, sham, over there. Umatchila soter tanotav, and from the beginning he nullifies his claims. Lomar Ainli, that said he doesn't have. He nullified it. So what does Rashi explain? Rashi says this is a case where he said in Beit Din he didn't have any more, and then later on he came and said, let Ploni and Ploni come and testify for me. Okay. Which sounds like
false witnesses.
Rashback. No, sorry. I mean, I'm talking about the people, the machloket. We saw that was like Rashbag. Even if he said he had none, right? The right. Sefer of the Mishnah. Even if he says he had none, which is the case here, he can bring new witnesses. Even though he said he had none, Rashbag said he might find later that he has more. Okay.
Right, but what about earlier we covered where it said that he had none, and then he said, you know, they were going to give him the verdict. He said, oh, here are witnesses, or here's a document he pulls out of his belt.
So that's a case of where he sees he's about to lose.
Right.
And he pulls out new evidence.
Exactly.
But that's not here. This is a case of simply saying, the court asks, do you have any more evidence? He says, no, I don't. And then he later comes and says, actually, I do. That's allowed according to Rashbag. Because Rashbag says, maybe he didn't know he had other evidence. At the time the court asked him, he was being honest. He said, you're right, I don't have anything else to offer. Sorry, that's it. That's the end of my case.
Right, and then later
on. He later on finds out. And now he can bring according to Rashbag.
And then
Chachamim say no, though. Chachamim say, once you said, then we don't believe you.
Right, but also later on, we also have the case where the witnesses or documents were coming from overseas.
Yes, no, we're not talking about that now. We're talking about a simple case of a person comes to the court and he says, I've got no more evidence. We have a machloket,
right,
to Rabbanan and Rashbag. And currently the Gemara is looking at that machloket, saying, we now have, when Rav Dimi came from Israel to Bavel, he said the following thing. What did he say? So let's see what he said again. He said, Lu'olam mevi ra'yat mesoteh. A person can always bring new evidence. Ad shi'istam entonatav, until he closes his argument, until he finishes. Brahman, he says, Kuvu ploni b'ploni, let so-and-so approach. Rashi says, what's going on here is that he was asked in court, do you have anything more to say? And then, later on, after he admitted he'd had nothing, or he said he had nothing, he then later brought. Right, so the Gemara is now going to question what exactly is going on with this statement, and how does it fit with our Mishnah?
Just the reason he went to
Babel? Who?
Zidi?
Rav Dimi?
No,
Rav Dimi came from Babel. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Israel to Babel.
Right,
he was a student of Rabbi Yochanan. When he came to Babel, he brought with him a lot of teachings from Rabbi Yochanan. And throughout the Gemara, we see Rav Dimi ba, and he comes and gives answers or explanations that help us understand the text. So here it happens to be that he was talking about this. Okay, so now the Gemara picks up on this statement from Rav Dimi, and it says, Hagufa kasha. Hagufa, the guf, the text itself, is a kasha. There's a problem within a stira. Within the gufa, within the text itself. Why? Almata, you said, yistayem ta'anotav, until he finishes his arguments. Right, meaning that he's allowed to bring evidence until he finishes his arguments. Who's that like? That goes like Rabbanan, that you have a time limit. You're allowed to bring evidence until you finish your arguments. So the first half of that statement sounds like Rabbanan. Atan le Rabbanan. That follows Rabbanan. Vahadar, and then Amarta. Then you said, Kilvu ish ploni yu ploni beheduni. Then you later said, and then let so-and-so come and testify me. That is allowed by Rashbag. Rabbanan don't allow that. So it seems to be a kasha. Atan le Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. That follows Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Right, the second half. Right, that's the kasha that the Gemara identifies with what Rav Dimi says. How do we resolve it? First of all, we've got a chitema. And if you want to say, which means that we're going to reject it, know that the following words are going to be wrong. The chitema, if you want to say, kula rabbanan shimon ben gamliel, that everything goes by Shimon, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that the whole statement of Rav Dimi is actually according to Rashbag, how would that work? Uperoshei kamafaresh, and this is how you would explain the statement if you were explaining it according to Rashbag. How would you explain it? My adshe yistem ta'anotav. What does it mean when we said that he can bring witnesses until he finishes his arguments, he closes his arguments? Adshe yomer, it means until he says, Kilvu ploni ploni heidoni. He means until he says, let so and so testify for me.
I don't understand.
Good. Explain what you don't understand.
He's still asking for more witnesses. He still wants to give more witnesses.
At what point? Where are you in the course of the trial?
Let so-and-so approach and testify for me.
Explain to me what's happening in the trial. He's in the trial. He's after the trial. He's still in the trial. Where are you holding? Where's your question focusing?
Is he still in the trial, or have they already given a verdict?
That's a good question. So first of all, what are we trying to do? First, the Gemara is saying, if you want to explain that this entire statement is like Rashbag, then you would have to say what it means is that the person is allowed to bring new evidence after he says he doesn't have. Right? That's what Rashbag says. How do you explain these words to fit in with that concept? The concept that you can still bring evidence after you say. That means is, then he has to explain the statement of Rav Dimi by saying, you can always bring proof until you close your argument, meaning until you're finished, until you're done completely. Meaning you're never done, right? Until you decide that you're done, you're not done.
So then how do they start deliberations if they don't know when he's done?
No, they can still give a verdict. We're talking about bringing new evidence to overturn the old verdict.
As long as you said, as long as he hasn't said, I don't have any more.
When? No, but here in this, he does say. Even if he does say, I don't have any more, Rashbag thinks you can still bring.
Is he always confined?
Yeah, you would have to say that it's a chitema, so we're going to reject it. But if you wanted to say it followed Rashbag, you'd have to try and explain the wording in order to mean that until the end of the time he's finished. Ad share, until he wants to say he can bring, he can still bring. It's a bit weak, but that's why we're going to reject it. Well, one of the reasons. Right? But the Gemara is going to reject that chitema, right? Baha, why? And behold, Amar Rabba Bar Barachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabba Bar Barachana said the name Rabbi Yochanan. Wherever Rashbag taught in our Mishnah, Halacha Kumoto, the Halacha follows him. Chutz, except for the Erev Sidon Uraya Achrona. Right? Those three things that we learned last time. So we learned that in the name of Rabba Bar Barachana, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who's bringing in this statement from Rav Dimi. Nachon. And Rabbi Yochanan says, we follow Rashbag in every case except for which ones?
Guarantor.
The Sidon.
Sidon.
And Raya Achrona. What's a Raya Achrona? This one. Except for this, we don't follow. Rabbi Yochanan saying we don't follow Rashbag. This is one of the three that we don't follow in it. If that's the case, then Rabbi Yochanan is holding this. So Rabbi Yochanan, right, is holding by Rabbanan. Here, he's holding by Rashbag. Fair enough. Right, because we follow Rashbag everywhere apart from this one. So it can't be that the statement that Rav Dimi brought from Rabbi Yochanan goes by this. Can't be. So we have to throw that out. We can't say, let's explain the statement of Rav Dimi that he goes by Rashbag in both. So it can't be that. Because we know that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold by Rashbag in the second case. Okay. Yofi. Ella, rather, how are we going to understand our Rav Dibi statement instead? Ki ata Rav Shmuel, when Rav Shmuel came, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. He said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So he's going to explain Rabbi Yochanan for us. Lo olam may be raya besoteh. You can always bring proof and nullify the original verdict, right? Ad sheyisayem tanotav, until he closes his argument. Yomru lo, and they say to him, Hevi edim, bring witnesses. Vomer ein li edim, and he says, I have no witnesses. Hevi raya, vomer ein li raya. Or he says, bring witnesses, or bring proof, and I don't have. So what is he saying? He's now saying exactly like our Mishnah. Okay? He's now saying, you can bring new evidence at any time, unlimited time. You can now bring evidence for unlimited time until unlimited time, like this one, unlimited time, until he says that he has none. And now he can't bring anyone. It's just exactly according to our halakha of our Mishnah. Right? The new version of what Rabbi Yochanan really said is that you can bring ad. Let's see that side. You can
so
bring.
Isn't that like the sages?
Like the beginning is like the sages, and the second half. No, the first half is like Rashbag, and the second half is like the sages.
Right.
Okay. Let's keep going. Maybe we'll get to the other question for this. Aval ba'ue dim mi medinat hayam. But if witnesses came from medinat hayam.
Overseas.
Kutzlaritz. Medinat hayam. I don't know why it's called medinat hayam. There you go. It's Kutzlaritz. Or sheita disakaya shel aviv. Mufkedet b'yadacher. Or if a disakaya, which is apparently a satchel. Rashi says, disakaya, sak shel or. Shahayu shtoratav shel aviv munachim bo. What we would call it is a document case, a briefcase, a satchel made of leather that documents are kept in. You see, the original briefcase, the original.
Right.
That's where it came from.
Literally, briefcase. A brief is a legal document.
A brief. A briefcase.
A briefcase is a brief is a legal document, and a case.
You know that, Fred? Huh? You learn that. Can learn that the word briefcase comes from the fact you keep your briefs in there, like not your briefs. So anyway, so it's in the Rashi. Rashi says a document, a satchel made of leather that you keep documents in.
So they invented the briefcase here.
The first briefcase.
Yes.
In the Gemara.
And it probably hasn't changed in the last 3,000 years.
Very nice. Anyway, so. So what we're saying, so that's the halakha is that you've got an unlimited time to bring new evidence, unless you say you haven't got any, in which case we don't allow you to bring any more after you said you have none, except if witnesses came from overseas, or if you had a briefcase belonging to your father had been deposited with another, right? You didn't know about it, right? Evidence that you weren't aware of. Then you can bring the evidence and you can nullify the verdict. Right? So if that's an exception to the rule. Exception to the rule is if witnesses came from overseas or evidence was found that you didn't know about, then you can still overturn the case even though you said, I have no further witness, no further evidence to bring. So. Next, Ki'ata Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Dimi said a lot of stuff when he came, right? Brought with him lots of merchandise, lots of very valuable goods.
What is merchandise?
Socher.
I thought you were trying to say, no, socheret, I don't remember.
Ah,
I said it was socheret.
it's close.
In the beginning, I thought that it says Bocheret.
Ah,
it's
I'm learning Hebrew from my daughters. Anyway, what
oh, you too?
Yeah. I get the words basically right, but sometimes not. Okay, so when Rav Dibi came, what did he say? He also said like this. Someone, here now we're learning a new law, an interesting law that also applies today. If somebody here pressures his friend to go to judgment, here without the pressure is relevant, but Toby starts off with someone who's pressuring his friend to go to judgment. One says, let's get judged over here. And another one says, no, let's go to the place of the Va'ad, like the main courthouse, the main high court. Right? We can go into the local Beit Din of three men and his donkey, or we can go to the, one says, no, let's just go to these guys. And the one says, no, I want to go to the one in the city where they know what they're talking about. So what happens? We can force him to go to the main one, the main courthouse. Right? If someone chooses the main courthouse, then he takes precedent. Right? Because he wants to go to the higher court, if you like. Amar lefanav Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said to him, Rabbi, Misha Noshe v'chaveiro mane. If someone has a claim for a maner, 100 zuz from his fellow, yotzi maner al maner, he should pay out a maner in order to get his maner, right? Is it fair? What we say? Someone is owed 100 zuz, and he wants to go to the local court to get his money back, but the other guy, who's being awkward, says, no, let's go to the big city court.
But the other guy's a debtor, right?
The other guy's one owes money.
The other guy is the debtor or the creditor?
He's the one who owes the money.
Owes the money, right, the debtor. So a debtor's a slave.
Tom, that's what the Gemara says at the end. But right now, we're dealing with who can be forced to move court. So now the argument. So first of all, we said the one who wants to go to the higher court, he wins, right? Because it's a higher court, and fair enough, he wants to go to a better quality court. But now, Rav Elazar, but wait a minute. If he is only owed 100 zuz, should he have to spend 100 zuz in traveling expenses for the train, for the lunch, for the overnight stay, right? Whatever it's going to cost, in order to try and reclaim a maner? Doesn't work. It's not fair. Ela kofino tova dam beiro. Rather, we can force him to litigate in his own city. According to this, a defendant can be forced to litigate in his own town, in the town of the claimant.
In the town.
The town, the place where he lives, of the claimant, of the toin. Right, you have to go to right because you live here. He lives there. Where we're not finished with this sugya. But it's a question they deal with now. You have to now where do you hold the din? You've got two parties, and someone's going to have to move. Right? You live in Jerusalem. He lives in Haifa. Where do you? He has to come to you, or you have to come to him?
And le'aloche today.
Yeah.
When somebody wants to take somebody to Beis Din.
Yeah.
The guy that you assume him.
Yeah.
He has the permission. To decide that he doesn't want this bathing, he wants other bathing.
Uh-huh. So that's also true in English law. The claimant puts on his claim form where he wants to have the argument, but the defendant can say, no, I want it in my court, I don't have to move. Right? But here we're saying the reverse.
Only in bathing.
Same thing in American law.
Right.
If you owe money to Sears, Sears has to sue you in your local city.
Right. But here, currently, we're seeing that Rav Elazar holds the other way. We can we go by the claimant. The claimant has a stronger position. Why? Because he's the one who's owed the money. Why should he have to suffer? You didn't pay me back, and now I have to go to your place to try and get the money from you. You're the one who didn't pay me back. Right? So we go, according to this, so far on this, that the balance of between the two of them, we should go by the claimant. He's the one who's losing out here. Right? Why should he have to travel and try and chase the guy for his money back?
I mean, assuming these are equal courts.
Yeah.
Whereas if you had a court of, I don't know, TB, Libni, and Lapid versus...
Yeah, but... So, okay. Okay. Itmar Nami was also said, Amarav Safra, Shnaim Shenit Atzmu Bedin, two litigants who were fighting in a question of law. One says, let's get judged here. One says, no, let's go to the main city, the place of assembly. We can force him to litigate in his own city. Right? So similarly, so this is the... concurs with what we just said and goes against the original comment. And if they need to ask a question, right, let's say that the local court is not specialized enough, and that's why he wanted to go to the main court. But we said, no, even though he wants to go to the main court, we force him to go to the local court. So, but maybe they're not expert enough to deal with this type of case. So what happens? Imotrach Devalishol, if they have a need to ask a question, Kotvin, they write it, Pesholchin, and they send it. So what, they ask a question to the higher court, they'll just send it. Well, we don't have to go there. V'imamar, and if he says, Kitvu utnu li ma'eze ta'am dan tuni, write for me the reason of your judgment. Kotvin not in law. We write it and give it to him. Meaning if he wants to complain and go to a higher court and say, you forced me into this lower court. I wasn't happy there because I don't think you know what you're talking about. He's allowed to say, write for me out your judgment, and then he can take it and he can go to the higher court with it, and he can go and get it overturned if he thinks that.
But there's a footnote.
Right. Okay. So it says here, anyone who was forced to go there, one who didn't want to go there, is allowed to ask for that. Just like he's allowed to ask for. Expert help from the higher court. You can also ask for the judgment at the end to get it tested by the higher court. Okay. Next. Hayivama. What's the Yivama?
Someone who's...
He's done Yivam.
Yeah.
Meaning?
Husband's died. Wife's childless.
Yes.
She...
So far.
Wants to, she needs to marry his brother.
Okay. What's
and
the two options?
One is they get married. Two, they do halitza and she marries someone else.
Oh, well, she's released from him. She doesn't have to.
She releases.
But she releases her by halitza. Okay, so what happens with a yavama? Hayavama holechet acha hayavam. Lahatira. What happens in the case of a yavama? They right? The brother lives somewhere else, right? Does she need to go to him, or he needs to go to her?
She goes to him if he's in his city. If he's traveling around, he has to go back to his city.
So the Gemara says the yavama holechet acha yavam. The yavama has to go after the yavam, right? He goes to his. She has to go. She has to go to him,
right.
The other way around. Right? Ad kama, how far does she have to go? Amar Rav Ami, afili mitiberia letzipori, even from Tiberias to Sipori.
Where is Sipori?
Sipori is quite near Tiberias. So the question here is, what's the Gemara there? And from Tiberias to Sipori is not such a far geographical distance. She has to travel all that way. There's lots more further distances you could have cited. So here the commentary explains, he's not talking about geographical distance. Tiberias was the main centre, one of the main centres, of learning of Torah in Eretz Israel. So that had all the courts, like the main high courts. Sipori was a little town, a little village, with a local Beit Din. So even though she has to go from a major city with courts to a local Beit Din, she still has to go from to follow the rule that you have to follow the other person, the other party. Amarakana, Mikra, where do we learn it from? What pasuk? Answer, Vakarulo Zikne Iro. And the elders of his city shall call to him. Belo Zikne Ira, and not the elders of her city. Right? In the pasuk talking about Yavam, it says the elders of his city. So we see that the Beit Din that you have the Yibum in is in his city, the elders of his city. It doesn't say the elders of her city. So we learn from there that she has to go to his city. Okay. Yofi, let's see if we can get finished to the end of the Mishnah. He says here in the Rashi, "Afal pisha yeshivat tevaria gadola, yishal sipori halacha charav sipori." Even though the yeshiva is bigger in Tiberias. Okay, Amar Ameimar. Ameimar says, "Hilchata, what's the halacha?" Ameimar tells us the halacha. Kofino tova yalech lemakom havaad. Actually, we can force a person to go to the place of the bigger city, the Vaad. Not like we said earlier, that we can force him to go to the local one. If a person wants to go to the higher court, we can force him into the higher court. Okay. Amale Rav Ashi le Ameimar. Rav Ashi says to Ameimar, Vahama Rabbi Elazar. But Rabbi Elazar has said, Kofi noto v'yadam b'yirah. Rabbi Elazar said something different. Rabbi Elazar said, we can force him to go in his own court, right? Not doesn't right. If one wants to go in his own court, and the other one wants to go to the big city, so we can force him to go to his own court. So that seems to be a cashin on that. Hani mile, so he answers these words. Heichadakamale, where did he say them? Dakamale love umalve, in the case of a lender and a borrower. In the case where the love lemalve, where the lender is telling the borrower about malve, but if it was the other way around, that the malve was arguing, eved love leish malve, we say that the borrower is a slave to the lender.
As I was saying,
right? Eved love. Right. What does that mean? It means that the case of a lender and a borrower is different, because the Torah has specified that in those cases of a lender and a borrower, then we have to go. The borrower has to follow the lender, because that's the law of the Torah. But in another case, then whoever wants can choose to go to the Vaad, the main city, and we don't care which one it is. Okay. Last part of the Gemara. Shalchu le lema'ovva. They sent to Ma'ovva. What did they send? They sent the following letter. The following, presumably a letter. Sent it. Lidziv le kavar bisya. To the one who shines like the son of Bitya. Footnote says he's the son of Bitya. Moshe Rabbeinu. One of the explanations in the top. Anyway, shalom, peace. Ukvan Habavli, Kabal Kadamana. Ukvan the Babylonian came before us. Right? He made a complaint in the court. Yemaya Achi Ha'avid Alai. My brother Jeremiah, Ha'avid alaya taderech. The translation here is, he has deprived me of the way. What's that mean?
Good question. The footnote doesn't say anything.
The footnote does say.
I mean, it says, but it doesn't make sense.
The footnote says he castrated me. So the translation, he deprived me of the way of men. So either means that he castrated me, or it means he cheated me.
Right.
Right? So either way, he's got a complaint against his brother. I don't know if it's his brother, Mamash brother, or just he's like a term for his friend. But anyway, Yirmiah is the one who did it. Ugven the Babylonian. Right. Anyway, he had a claim. It doesn't really matter what happened to him. He had a claim. Tom, we know. I don't know why we know what the claim is, but it's obviously important for deeper reasons that we don't know. Anyway, so what did he say? Ve'imrula, tell him. Hasiuhu yir'eh panah b'Tiberias. Tell him he needs to come and see our face in Tiberias. Right? He's telling him, telling Mar Ugva, that there's a guy in your locale who has had a complaint brought against him by his brother. Let's call him his brother. Right? And therefore he needs to come to see us in Tiberias to defend the claim. Right? Rather than the other way around. Right? This is a comment on what we just learned. Right? That Tiberias, that's the main center. That he's making the claim. He wants to hold it here. You're in wherever you are. You're in a lesser place. Tell that chappie who lives in your settlement to come and see us. That's what it appears to say.
I mean, Babylonia from Tiberias is quite a distance. It's like LA to Yerushalayim.
Right. Yes, you're right. We're talking about a person who was in Babel. And the courts of Eretz Israel were, what's that called? When you get someone from overseas.
Extradition.
We're trying to extradite Jeremiah from the first case of extradition. All right? And Jewish law. Right? They were telling him to bring him, make sure he comes back to the court in Tiberias to hear the charges. The Gemara has a problem with it. Hagufa kasha. We've got a gufa kasha here. We've got a problem, an internal problem with the text. Why? Amalta amrulo. You said, tell him. Alma dayinunun itun. Evidently, he's telling him to hold the case in Babylonia. But his seal of the Urea Panai Batebria, and then you say, make him come and see us in Tiberias. Ama Shadruhu Hacha. Therefore, it seems like you want to send him here. What's the contradiction? It sounds like, first of all, you're saying, judge him over there. Get this guy and judge him in Babylonia. And then you're also saying, but tell him to come over here to see us in Tiberias. So which is it? Where do you want him to be judged? It appears to be a kasha. So the Gemara has to explain. Elahachi kama. This is what we're saying. Amru leila dainim atun. You tell Jeremiah to adjudicate the case. Meaning you adjudicate it there. Isayit sayit. If he agrees with you, then he agrees. The ilah has sealed the Europana Tiberia. And if not, then tell him to come to Tiberia. So we revise the understanding. We say what he's actually telling Marvel is that you judge him there. If he doesn't want to be judged there, then he can come. Then tell him to come to us in Tiberias, right? So it's not changing the law about where we judge. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi says different. Dinei Knasot Hava is a case of Dinei Knasot, a penalty. And in Babel, they couldn't judge penalties, right? There was no valid Beit Din that was allowed to judge penalties outside of Eretz Israel. Therefore, they couldn't judge it there. And that's why they sent this to him. And the reason why they sent the letter to him was merely to give Kavod to Mar Ugva, right? To say to him, would you please, we know that you could judge it, but would you please send it to Israel? Meaning, it appears to be a steerer in the text that we're saying that you judge him, but really send it to Eretz Israel. Meaning, we really want you to send him to Eretz Israel because we know that you can't judge him there. But we're being polite and offering you the opportunity. If you want to judge it there, you judge it there. But otherwise, please send it to him. Meaning that you're going to have to send it to us because we're the only place that can judge penalties. But we're being polite and saying, giving you the choice, so to speak. Because it was Mar Ukva, and Mar Ukva was the shining light whose face was like Moshe Rabbeinu. Adran Alech Zebore, Adran Alech Zebore, Adran Alech Zebore. End of Perek 3 of Sanhedrin.
Now it's a follow up, it's Daflev.
I want Daflev. Yofi, see you.